All right. Last week we shared some testimonies. We shared some testimonies about what God did in my life. And you know what? I came here tonight with a nice sermon. But apparently God doesn't want me to preach that. So I'm going to be sharing with you a couple of more testimonies. And I actually want to share with you the testimony of how God changed my life. The Bible says that we will defeat the devil through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Is there anybody in this place that believes that now and then they got some stupid devil giving them a hard time? Just wave at me. Some of you, you're lying right now. You should have two hands in the air. There we, yeah, that's it. I can tell you one thing. Nobody can say anything good about the devil, but he works bloody hard. And he's busy. And if you want to defeat the devil, one of the things that you have to get to understand is that testifying what God does for you gives the devil a punch like nobody's business. He can't stand it when people give glory to God and when people share what God has done in their lives. You must understand something. The Bible makes it clear that God is not a respecter of man, which simply means that God does not have favorites. If God will do something for me, then God will also do something for you. Amen? I actually spoke to the team members earlier on, and I said to them that this week I had to pray for quite a number of people, and all of them had a problem with, what was that word again? Unworthiness. And that seems to be a big Christian problem. We sit with a spirit of unworthiness, and we believe that because of our background, because of where we come from, because of what we've done, because of what we've been exposed to, etc., etc., for some strange reason now, God is not going to do stuff for us. Yes, he can do it for Kwesi and for Pitty and for Sunny and for James and for John and for Peter and for Annie. But he's not going to do it for me because I was a bad boy or I was a bad girl. Any bad boys in this place? Just wave at me. Yeah, Louie, I knew you were going to raise your hand. Oh, you were? Yeah, you've caught on, eh? Everybody has a past. You all have a past. And some of you, you've messed up a lot. Some of you, you've messed up even more than that. Why are you smiling like that? But the fact of the matter is, that is why Jesus died. That is why the blood of the Lamb had to be shed. The Bible says the blood of the Lamb was shed for the remission of our sins. In other words, to take away our sins. I don't deserve something from God because of who I am. And you don't deserve something from God because of who you are. But we deserve it because of who Jesus is. Because when the blood of Jesus is in my life, that's what God sees. He sees the blood. And if my sin is under the blood covers it. Amen? Have you ever seen when there's a pool of blood lying on the floor? I know it's not the nicest thing for you to think of, but you can't see what's under that blood, can you? All you see is red. When God looks at your life and you are covered by the blood of the Lamb, he does not see the things of your past. He sees the blood. The blood testifies on your behalf that you are righteous. And the blood testifies on your behalf not guilty. Please say those words with me. Not guilty. Some of you need to repeat that. Not guilty. Now, if you are not guilty, then you are worthy. Look at your neighbor and say, you are worthy. Look at your other neighbor, and otherwise they feel rejected, and say to them, you are worthy. Now, look at the person behind you and say, you are worthy. Now, look at the person in front of you and say, you are worthy. Thank you. Now everybody look at me and say, you are worthy. Oh, you're such a nice audience. Amen. I like you. But here's the thing, we are worthy. We are worthy, Gina, you are worthy. You are worthy to receive whatever it is that you need right now, tonight. But because we sit with this unworthiness, often when God is in the house and he wants to bless us with something, that unworthiness comes and we got this thing, oh, that's not for me. You better put that down. You better put that down. Why do we testify? We testify because the Bible says when we do that, not only do we give glory to God, which is something that he deserves, but we also get the opportunity to put the devil in his place. You know what? One good testimony can do more than a 50 or 100, I rebuke you devils. Sometimes you should do less, I rebuke you devil, and more testifying what God has done in your life. You know, in the Old Testament, when God worked with the Israelites, it was a direct godly command that they should constantly remember what God has done for them. And how did they remember what God did for them? By testifying. You know, back then they didn't have television and they didn't have radio and they didn't have cell phones and the Xbox wasn't invented yet and the PlayStation was not even a memory. And back then, you know what they used to do? They used to share stories with their children. They used to keep speaking about how God parted the seas, and they used to keep speaking about how God fed them in the desert, and they kept speaking about the miracles that God did to get them out of Egypt, and they had to keep doing that because in the process, number one, they gave glory to God, number two, they put the enemy in his place. And you know what? Unfortunately, we've become a society today that finds it extremely difficult to testify. And I can't understand why. Because I have to believe that God has done amazing things for pretty much everybody in this place. If you go and sit and think about it, you can probably come up with 1,000 things that God collectively has done for all of us in this building. But when we have the opportunity to speak about it, often our mouths are shut. It shouldn't be that way. I asked you earlier on, who of you believe you got some devil giving you a hard time? Just wave at me again. Right. The Bible says you will defeat the devil through the blood of the Lamb, which makes you worthy, and the word of your testimony. Because you see, when I testify, Satan loses power. When I testify, God becomes greater. God becomes stronger in my life. The power of God flows more in my life. I want to share with you a testimony from my life. And then I'm going to go to what I really actually want to talk about. Me, I grew up in a Christian household. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's not such a good thing, especially if you grow up in a traditional household. You see, the thing with tradition is people tend to believe that they're okay just because they do go to church, they do pray, they do own a Bible, and now and then they do go to Sunday school, etc., etc. Tell me something, does that save you? No. The Bible says we are not saved by works, but by faith. Now, a lot of people are fooled into a false sense of security because they actually can quote one or two scriptures and they own a Bible and now and then they actually open it up and they read it. What did the devil use to come against Jesus in the desert? He used the word. You think the devil's afraid of the word? No. So you can quote 10 scriptures. The devil's not going to jump and run because of your 10 scriptures. But if you have faith in your heart, faith is going to do something for you. And there's a big difference between people quoting scriptures and people having faith. Sometimes a person with faith can't quote one scripture, but when he tells the devil to run, the devil will run. Because you see, the Bible says, unless we have the faith of a four-year-old, we will not enter the kingdom of God. And four-year-olds can't quote scripture, but they can have faith. Am I right? If you tell a four-year-old that God is good, God is good. You tell a 32-year-old, God is good, yeah, but I got this problem and I owe that much money and my mortgage and my, yeah, hello? Now there's your problem. Because we don't have faith anymore. We take everything to our mind and our mind is very confused. How many of you know that your mind is a dangerous place? It's your worst enemy, isn't it? Where does doubt come from? Comes from your mind. Where does most of your insecurities come from? Comes from your mind. Where does most of your fears originate from? Your mind. You know, when you sit in the dark and you look at something, your mind will start playing tricks on you and it's like, ooh, it's a monster. It's the boogeyman. You start freaking out. You have a mild panic attack. You feel a stroke coming on. And then your mother flips on the switch and it's the coat rack. Hello? Then you feel like an idiot, but your mind was convincing you, oh, there's a big problem. Now you know why Jesus lives in your heart and not in your mind. Even he can't stand the scary stuff in your mind, eh? All right, moving along. I grew up in a Christian household. My father was a devout believer, and I went to Sunday school. I have to make a confession now. I used to bunk Sunday school quite a lot. The church was just around the corner from my house, and we used to tape the A-team on a Saturday night. So I used to duck and go and watch it. Don't you get any ideas. I'm just talking to my son now, you know. But anyway, I grew up Christian. I grew up religious. I had a Bible. I prayed. And I didn't know God. But I was actually quite far from God, even though I knew Him. And God wanted that to change because God knew that there was something in my life that was very important. You see, locked up inside of me was a destiny. And at that point in time, I was living very far from my destiny, and I had to have an encounter, a supernatural encounter with God to put me on the right path. And I want to say to you that there are many of you here tonight, you need a supernatural encounter with God because you are not on the right path. The Bible says there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. And don't fool yourself that you're sitting here tonight, you must be okay. I sat in church every Sunday, and I was not okay. I needed an encounter with God. I needed the touch of the Holy Spirit. I needed the fire of God to come and burn some rubbish out of my life before I could get on the right path. And so, my father comes home the one day and he says to me, listen, we had this visiting preacher that came to our church. It was quite an amazing service, and it was completely the opposite of what we are used to. You know, I came from a very traditional church background. I came from the NG Kerk, and we would all stand together. We would all sit together, and everything would be all harmonious. But sometimes I wonder whether there is any place for God to move. Because everything has to be ba-da-bum, 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 you know. Now we sit, now we stand. Now we sing, now we do this, now we do that. Now we all make a declaration of faith. Now we all go home. But sometimes God wants to do something. And we've put too many rules and too many regulations. And this is how it is and that is how it is. And I can say one thing to you. And this is not a reflection of the church I come from. This is just my experience. But I grew up in a church where I never really experienced God. I experienced a lot of religion. But I did not experience God. If you asked me whether God was real, of course He's real. I was too scared to say no. But if you asked me whether I experienced Him, no, not really. But I don't want to go to hell one day, so, no, of course He's real, you know. My father was talking to me about this gentleman. And my father said that the meeting was completely the opposite of what we were used to. It was a lot more free. Jesus said, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, streams of living water will come gushing from within us. When water flows, there is freedom. Have you ever noticed that? When water flows, there is freedom. When you sit next to a stream and you watch it, how do you feel? You feel peaceful. Problems seem to just dissipate. Everything seems to feel okay. Everything feels good. You want to be where the river flows. Because where the river flows, there's life. What are the qualities of water? Help me out. It cleanses. It refreshes. It renews. It invigorates. It gives life. If you are somewhere where the river of God does not flow, you will not have those qualities. You will simply feel empty. You can go to church every single Sunday and go home empty if the river did not flow where you went. But you see, when this man came into that church, the river flowed for the first time and people freaked out. Do you know that we serve a supernatural God? Yes, we do. And do you know that sometimes when He rocks up, supernatural things tend to happen? Yes, they do. How many of you know we need some supernatural intervention in our life every now and then? Come on, how many problems have you got that you can't solve yourself? Well, bless God for a supernatural God. Because He can do things you and I can't. To make a long story short, this man came to our church again a month later. And I happened to be at church that night. And wow, what an experience I had. I told you that we serve a supernatural God, right? Now here am I. At that point in time, I was about 24 years old, grew up in the church, thought I knew quite a bit, probably knew nothing. Sat right in the back of the church. We have the praise and worship. That was actually quite nice. I enjoyed it. I sit down. This man begins to preach. Something very strange happens to me. It feels like everybody else in that church disappears and it's just me sitting there. It feels like my ears. How many of you used to have, if you're my age, you used to have the Noddy books. Anybody here have Noddy? And watch Noddy on the TV? Now, he had a pal called Big Ears. And my ears, they felt and they looked like big ears. It was like these big things on the side. And they heard every word that this man was speaking. And it actually felt like the words pierced my heart. The Bible says that the word of God is like a double-edged sword and it can cut and pierce even between soul and spirit. I sat there that night and the word that this man was speaking directly into my heart. I'd never felt that before. I started getting heart palpitations. At one point in time, I thought I was going to have a panic attack. Actually, it wasn't me having a panic attack. It was all the devils in me having a panic attack. Now I know that, but back then I didn't know that. And I actually heard this voice say to me, you have to get out of here. This is not for you. Leave. And I sat right at the back and the door was right there. If I got up and I gave two steps, I was outside the church. And it was like something was pushing me to get out of the church. It wanted me to leave. And you know what? I actually at one point in time tried to get up and then the strangest thing happened. Would you believe it? My brain was telling my legs to get up and my legs were saying, no way. Bless God for legs that wouldn't obey my mind. I couldn't get up. Now I'm freaking out because I'm having heart palpitations. I think I'm having a panic attack and my legs have stopped working. That was not a good day for me. Then I start feeling nauseous. Now I think I'm going to vomit. And I can't get out of the chair. And then it was even worse because then my backside starts burning. Yeah, you're all laughing. But put yourself in my shoes. I'm not in church right now. I'm in the twilight zone. And really strange things are happening to me. And everybody around me looks normal. And this is happening to me. And I'm thinking, no, this can't be happening. Yes, it is. Yeah, the burning sensation is real. It wasn't funny. But in hindsight, it is funny. And I'm sitting there. My mind is blown. But even though my mind is blown, I still hear every word that this man is preaching. And he was preaching about repentance. He was preaching about changing your life. He was preaching about being obedient to God. And you know what? God was speaking to me about my life that day, and I realized that it's time for some changes. He stopped the meeting and he said, if anybody feels that the Lord spoke to them, come forward. You know those legs that didn't want to work? Suddenly they worked overtime. I looked like Bruce Fordyce. The next thing I know, there I go. I tell you what, Usain Bolt could not catch me that night. Before I realized what was going on, I was halfway to the front. Then something really strange happened. I got halfway, and the same voice that spoke to me earlier on started speaking to me again. This is not the place for you. Get out of here. And it was like something tried to hold me back. I mustn't go forward. I mustn't go forward. I mustn't receive. Don't do this. And my legs started feeling weak. It felt like all the power started raining. You know, I started with a lot of strength and energy and power. And the closer I got to the front, the more I felt the energy begin to drain out of my body. Again, this must be the twilight zone. You know, these things don't happen and they don't happen in church, do they? And just for in case you're thinking, I didn't smoke nothing before I went to church. I didn't sniff nothing. And strangely enough, that day I had no alcohol. I was sober. And you know what? As I'm walking towards the front and I feel my legs lose all their power and all their strength, I came to a realization that today I have an opportunity to do something with my life. Today I have an opportunity that can change my life forever. And I actually want to read you a scripture here. This is what I was going to preach tonight. I'm not going to preach it, but this scripture actually fits in well. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 to 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That night I was in a place where the Lord may be found. And it was my responsibility to either accept it or reject it. God couldn't do it for me. My father couldn't do it for me. My neighbor couldn't do it for me. Nobody could do it for me. I had to make that choice. I had to make that decision. And you know what? I made that decision right there in the middle. Let's just say that right there at the back where the sound desk is probably where this visiting evangelist was standing. I was sitting about there where the wooden partitioning is. And I had got to about, yeah, when I started feeling suddenly all the life drain out of me. And I had to make a decision. And I said to myself, this is what I'm going to do. Tonight I embrace this message. Tonight I choose to change. Tonight I choose to be obedient to God. And the moment I made that choice, life came back into me. It was amazing. And I walked forward. I got to the front. This man walked up to me and he looked me in the eye and he prophesied something over my life. What he prophesied is not really relevant right now. But remember that I said to you that I'd never experienced God for 24 years in the church? Well, that all changed that moment. Because everything that happened to me from the moment I walked into that church till that point was me experiencing God. I experienced the reality and the existence of Satan, because guess who was talking to me, telling me to leave? It was him. But I also experienced the grace of God, where the moment I made the choice and I made the decision, he was there to back me up and there to help me. And this man prayed for me and the power of God came upon me. Doof! There I was on the floor. Now, nothing had ever prepared me for that. You know, the world that I was coming from, you don't pray for people and they fall over and strange things happen to them. But the world that I came from, you also didn't experience your seat getting warm and heart palpitations and feeling nauseous in church. You know, I lay there on that floor. And my mind was blown because I experienced so many supernatural things in one night. Nothing had ever prepared me for that. And then something really strange happened. I lay there and I spoke to God. Now, you know what? In my life at that point in time, because I was religious, I used to pray. But I had this rhyme that I used to pray. You know, I once saw an episode of Bart Simpson. And Homer says to Bart, okay, Bart, pray and say thank you for the food. So Bart goes, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Now, I didn't pray something like that, but in a sense, just like he was using a rhyme, I would pray the same thing every night. But you see, that's not having a relationship with God, is it? I mean, imagine if the only thing that you ever say to your wife is three little sentences. And tomorrow night you're going to say the same thing, and the next night you're going to say the same thing. How long will that relationship last? And is there any substance to that relationship? No, there isn't. You see, even though I knew of God, I didn't really know him. But that night things changed, because that night, through my experience of the Holy Spirit and the anointing touching my life, I met God. And I lay on that floor and I began to speak to God in a way that I never spoke to him before. I spoke to God, like I'm speaking to you now. I spoke to him about my life. I spoke to him about my future. I spoke to him about my hopes, my fears, my dreams, my aspirations, my life. And I began to feel something really strange and very supernatural happen to me. It felt like this wave would come over me. Something came down and this sort of pressure would be upon me. And then it would move over my body and then it would lift again. Then for maybe 30 or 40 seconds it would be gone, and then it would come again. It felt like a wave that just softly kept moving over me. And I felt lighter and lighter and lighter. You know that they prayed for me about 9 o'clock the night. 12 o'clock that night, I was still on the floor. The power of God was still upon me, and I still had this sensation. And I was laughing, and I was crying, and all sorts of things. All these emotions kept going through my body. 9, 10, 11, 12. For about 3 hours, the power of God was upon me. By that time, everybody had gone home. The pastor was fed up. He gave the keys of the church to my father. He said, listen, you make a plan and lock up. And when you finish, please put the keys in the mailbox. About 12:30 that night, the power of God lifted. I was stuck on that floor. For some of you, this is really strange. For some of you, this is really weird. But when God wants your attention, God gets your attention. Amen? I was stuck on that floor. And God was dealing with me. But you see, here's the amazing thing with God. He knew for a long time that I need to be dealt with. But He never forced it on me. He waited for me to make the decision that I wanted it. And this is where a lot of people miss the bus. They believe because God is omniscient, because God is omnipotent, because God can do whatever God wants to do, He can must see I got a problem, He must just sort it out. You know, why doesn't He just come and deal with it? Because that's not the way God works. God is not a dictator. God will never force something on you. Sometimes He will use circumstances to speak to you, but it is your responsibility to choose to allow Him to do that and ask Him for it. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. That night, I chose. When I was walking up that aisle and that voice spoke to me and said, run, get out of here, I chose to stay and I chose to change. And because I chose it, I gave God the right to start moving in my life. 12:30 that night, the power of God lifted off me. I felt completely different. You know, the scripture says, we are a new creature in Christ. The old things are gone, and behold, everything has become new. You know, that night, that was not just a scripture for me, that was what I experienced. I felt like a completely new person. I felt like, you know, for those of you that understand computers, you can reprogram a computer. Like some of you, you have a car, you take it to a guy, he reprograms the chip on your computer, on your car, and where your car used to be docile, suddenly it's got a lot of UMA. Well, God did something like that to me. My files up here were a little bit corrupted, and they needed to be reprogrammed. And that night, while I was stuck on the floor, I was plugged in to the spirit world, and I started getting a download from God. You see, because of what happened in your life, let's just talk about this in general. Anybody around here had any disappointments in your life? Wave at me. Who's been stabbed in the back? Okay, I'll do this for you. Me. Anybody ever been hurt? Anybody ever been angry, frustrated, slandered? Yeah. Do you know what happens to you when all of these things happen? Your life changes. Not for the better, for the worse. Now, when God puts us on this earth, He puts us here for a reason. There is a destiny locked up inside of us. The Apostle Paul says we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. Part of the treasure that you carry within you is the destiny that God has for your life. But you see, the more disappointments you go through, the more you get hurt, the more you get stabbed in the back, the more people aren't there for you, the more they reject you, the more you suffer fear and anxiety, go through attempted hijackings, or maybe somebody molests you or rapes you, your path deviates from where God wants you to be. Because anger comes into your heart. Bitterness starts welling up inside of you. Frustration is there. Fear has entered you. All of these things begin to push you very far from where you're supposed to be. And don't you dare blame God for that. because the devil's behind all of that rubbish. But when you start coming back to God, you give God the opportunity to bring you back to where you're supposed to be. You see, in heaven, there's a blueprint for my life. And God, when He looks at me, He sees where I'm supposed to be and where I am right now. And it's His heart, because He's a Father, to bring me back to where I'm supposed to be. That night it started. I won't say it finished that night because I'm still on that road. But that night, God did something amazing to start bringing me back. You know, a lot of the fears left me that night, supernaturally. Nobody touched me. Nobody prayed for me. Nobody did nothing. For 3 hours, I was stuck on that floor, and the Holy Spirit was working with me and dealing with me. Can I tell you what? The man that got up from that floor and the man that went down was not the same person. My personality changed. My outlook on life changed. And you know what? I didn't go to a whole bunch of feel-good seminars, positive thinking, blah, blah, blah. None of that stuff. God did it supernaturally. A whole bunch of things that I used to battle with was gone when I got up off of that floor. And no man can take credit for what happened that night, because it was supernatural. The finger of God was touching my heart, and I could feel it. I got up off of that floor. I felt as light as a feather. In fact, it almost felt like if I jumped, I was going to be like one of those oaks on the moon. It's like I'm just going to keep going and going and going. You almost want to anchor yourself because, look, I'm going to float away. But that's how it feels when the power of God touches you. And you know, that night my life changed completely. Up to that point, I had one vision for my life. From that moment on, my vision would never be the same again. Because up to that point, I never understood why God put me here. But that night, God opened something in the spirit world, and I began to see what I was supposed to do. You know, I could never pray in front of people. When we were in Sunday school, they used to have this thing that, okay, today you're going to pray and tomorrow you're going to pray. Guess what? Every time it was my turn to pray, I would bunk Sunday school. Now, I'm not joking. That's true. Because I would nearly die when you tell me it's my turn to pray. I couldn't pray. I would have panic attacks. I would have fear. I would have heart palpitations. I would come up with any excuse not to pray in front of the other kids. You can't say that about me today, can you? You see, God had to change something in me. And He did. Do you know the first change that I noticed after what happened to me that night? 2 days later, I walk into a woman's office. I worked for myself. I had my own business back then. I walk into a woman's office. I knew her. I didn't know her well, but I knew her. And I walk into this office, and I get this strange sensation of sadness. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that is. You know, us men, our sixth sense don't work all that well, you know. Women, they are very tuned into that stuff. We quite thick. We just go through life and everything's fine, you know. But I walk into this woman's office and something is not right here. And now we're doing business. I'm filling in papers and, you know, explaining stuff to her. But the whole time I have this pressing thing that this woman is not well. So I eventually ask her, I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can, because I don't want to cause a big international incident. But I say to her, listen, you know, I don't want to be funny, but I keep getting this, are you okay? You know, are you all right? But that wasn't the only thing that I said. I said to her, I have this feeling that God wants me to say to you that everything's going to be okay. I said these words. Lo and behold, this woman opens all the taps. Wow, she starts crying. Now I feel quite horrible because I made the woman cry. I said, no, wait, calm down. Come, I'll pray for you. I never thought I would hear those words come out of my mouth. I will pray for you. I grab her hands, man, and I start praying up a storm there. And I remember thinking while I'm praying, where is this coming from? Wow. And there I'm praying for this woman, and the next moment she stops crying, and she's like all excited, and she's all happy. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is strange stuff. I'm still in the twilight zone. I haven't left. I walked out of the building that day. I got into the sunshine. It was in Edenvale. I'll never forget. I walked out of that building. I walked into the sunshine and I looked up. And I actually spoke these words out loud. And I said, what on earth just happened there? Because the person that I experienced that day and the person that I was 3-4 days ago, you could not bring them together. I was completely different. The Bible says that we will be a new creature in Christ. God will take the old things away and He will make everything new. That is not a myth. That is a reality. But it is only a reality when you experience God. It does not come into your life when you experience religion. It does not come into your life because you've prayed once or twice or because you've read your Bible. It comes into your life when you get touched by the anointing of God. It comes into your life when the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, when the river of God flows into you. I said to you earlier on that water has certain characteristics. One of the characteristics of water is it cleanses. That night, I felt the power of God touch me and cleanse me of stuff that I used to battle with. Like low self-esteem. Guess what? I didn't have low self-esteem by the time I got up off that floor. Because it was my low self-esteem that kept me from praying in front of people. It left. I didn't make it go. God made it go. I responded to God. God did something amazing for me. Fear. I used to be riddled with fear. I used to share this with people. I'll never forget when I was young, probably about my middle son's age, Michal. He's 12 now. We were watching some movie. And there was actually two movies that I watched. And those things haunted me for years. The one, the guy put his hand out the window and there was a guy standing there with an axe and they chopped off his arm. For years, I refused at night to close the window because there might be somebody outside there chopping off my arm. And I saw another movie where there was this guy hiding behind the tree with a knife. And when the oak walked past the tree, he stabbed him in the back. Guess what? I never walked past the tree at night. I'm serious. I used to have a lot of fear and I used to be very paranoid. I read a book once on aliens and this person got abducted by aliens. Guess what? Man, I never used to walk at night. I ran. I have to be faster than the tractor beam. You know? And of course, then I was a real idiot and I read a book on vampires. So guess what? My life was filled with vampires. And when I used to walk at night, I used to always have this thing that there's something behind me. And it was always following me. I used to jowl. Then I come home like 1 or 2 o'clock at night, normally a little bit pickled. And that doesn't help because then my imagination is 10 times worse. You understand? So I get out the car and we had a manual gate. We lived in Mondial. We had a manual gate. Then I have to open the gate. But now you must understand when you've opened the gate, you have to drive the car in, you have to get out again and you have to close the gate. And we had this open felt next to our house. There can be a lot of chocololos hiding there in the grass, you know. So I stop the car, I get out the gate, panic all the way. And then, as luck would have it, then there would be a noise in the felt. Then I fall all over myself to try and get the gate open and the stupid gate gets stuck. Then I have 4 heart attacks by the time I get back to the car. Then it takes me 10 minutes to recover from all the stress. I drive the car in and then I still have to get out again to close the gate. And then I'm sure I saw a vampire there on the chimney. Panic, you know. Then I have to walk to the front door. But we had this long, narrow corridor with like trees and shrubs all around. And remember, I saw a movie of a guy with a knife. Oh my word. I never went to sleep drunk because I panicked all the alcohol out of myself. By the time I went to bed, I was completely sober. That was my life. Guess what? It left me. It left me. Because you see, what God destined me to do, I couldn't have all these fears. I couldn't have this low self-esteem. I couldn't have all this nonsense. Now let me explain something to you that I didn't understand that day. That day when I walked into that church and that man prayed for me, I experienced some strange and supernatural things. Now, the church that I used to attend, you know, the closest we ever come to the Holy Spirit is like at the end when we do our confessional, we say, I believe in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit needs to be experienced. What's the use of saying you believe in Him if you've never met Him? What's the use of saying you believe in Him if He's never touched you, if you don't really even know that He's real? I mean, that's hypocritical, isn't it? That's stupid. That night, I was introduced to a couple of things. I was introduced to the anointing. Do you know why I started feeling strange in that church when I went to sit down? Because I came under the anointing. For the first time, my spirit was touched by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the anointing is simply a way of explaining the power of the Holy Spirit that is present in a place to perform the will of God in a supernatural way. The anointing touches your spirit. It can also touch your body. And a lot of times people start shaking and, you know, weird things start happening to you. But the anointing touches your spirit. Secondly, that night, I experienced the Holy Spirit. I felt Him speak to me. I felt Him push me. I felt Him give me the power that I needed when I needed it. That night, I experienced liberty. The Bible says the anointing will break the yoke. There was a lot of things holding me back because of my life, because of my past, because of failures and fears and frustrations and whatever. And that night, because of the anointing, God broke a lot of the chains that was keeping me from being the man God wanted me to be. Okay, so why am I telling you all of this? Because I know that there's a lot of you sitting here that you're in the same boat that I was in 17 years ago. In a sense, you are a victim of low self-esteem, fear, terror, anxiety. You don't think you deserve. You feel unworthy. You feel rejected. There's some of you, you got stuff that you're battling with and you can't have victory over it. Well, I want to say something to you. I'm sharing my testimony with you tonight because I want you to know that what God did for me, He will do for you. God is not a respecter of a man. I'm no better than what you are and you're no better than me. We're on the same level playing field. If God could have mercy on me and He could touch my life in a supernatural way, then let me tell you something, He can do the same for you. But you're going to have to get to the place where I got to. I had to make a choice to allow God to do it. My friend, you can't play church with God. You've got to mean business. And when you are in a place, let me read you the scripture again. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Why do you think the Bible says that? Because there's going to come a time when you will seek Him and you will not find Him. Sometimes you are in the right place at the right time. The anointing is there. The power is there. The Holy Spirit begins to nudge you. He says to you, this is your hour. This is your moment. Do it. Then pride comes. Confusion comes. Rebellion comes. And we say no. And then you miss it. Tonight the Lord is speaking to many of you. And He's saying to you, this is your chance. What you've been waiting for, what your spirit has been crying out for, can happen for you tonight. But you've got to seek God while He may be found. You've got to seek God while He may be found because you don't know what the day of tomorrow holds, do you? Can you guarantee me that you're going to have another opportunity? According to this scripture, no. If the Bible says we must seek God while He may be found, it's also clear that God is saying to us there will come a time when some will seek Him and never find Him. Tonight you still have an opportunity. The anointing that touched my life that night became part of my life. And by the grace of God, it has grown and grown and grown in the last 17 years. Today I can see things and I experience things, and God does through me things that I could never even dream of 17 years ago. And let me tell you something about the anointing. In the book of Psalm 133, in fact, let me read it to you quickly. Eugene, would you mind coming forward for me, please? I'm actually going to read it to you after we do some worship. Tonight we need to worship because God's going to do some amazing things. I'm going to read you Psalm 133, and then I'm going to explain some things to you after we sing a couple of songs. Why do we worship God? Because He deserves it. Because it brings us closer to Him and it brings Him closer to us. The Bible says when we worship the Lord, we build Him a throne in our midst. How amazing is that? Tonight, we can have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right here. And you know why you want Him right here? Because then all He has to do is touch you and He sorts things out. Does anybody here want to worship God? Yes. Let us stand, please. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows His blessings. Yes, even life evermore. Listen to the scripture carefully. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard. Down upon the collar of his robes. I want to talk about that a little bit. He's speaking there about the anointing. Yes, in a sense, he's speaking about what happened when they would anoint a priest or a king. And in those days, the way that that happened was they would take oil and they would release that oil upon that individual. They would take a vat of oil, and they would actually pour the whole thing. Now, if you pour oil, it starts on the head. But then it says, listen to what it says. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, coming down on the beard, down upon the collar of his robes. When you pour oil, it runs from the head to the toes. That's how the anointing works. The anointing has to start somewhere. If you are in a meeting where the person that is preaching is anointed, that person for that moment is the head. But the Bible tells us that it will not stay at the head. It'll run down to the beard. What would you say is the beard? Leadership. The wise men, leadership. But then it'll also go to the shoulders. What is the shoulders? It's the young men and women. That's where the strength, that's where the power is. The breasts, women. All the way down to the soles of his feet. Who are they? The children. When the anointing works, when the anointing flows, it will touch every single person. But it will always start where? At the head. Now here's the thing with oil. Oil is transferable. If it runs from the head down to the feet. The oil that was here will eventually end up there. If it didn't start here, it can't end up there. If my hands are full of oil and I touch her, what happens? She's going to have oil on her. If I am full of oil and I touch him, he's going to be full of oil. Amen? Right. That night I was in a church where the anointing was. The anointing came upon my life. And the anointing changed my life. Amen? The anointing changed my life. Come here. Does it still work that way? Yes, it does. And that's the amazing thing about the kingdom of God. What God will do for one, God will do for another. The anointing is also called fire. Let's talk a little bit about fire. Do you like fire? That's a good answer. She likes fire. Why do you think my seat started burning that night? Because I was introduced to the fire of God. Probably I needed it more in my backside than in any other place. God needed to burn some you-know-what out of me. Probably he did. Fire is an interesting thing because it works a lot like oil. If I have one stick that's burning and I have another stick that's not burning and I touch the two, what happens to the fire? The fire will go from the burning stick to the not burning stick and they will both be burning. You don't touch a burning stick with a non-burning stick and then the other one dies. That's the properties of fire. It runs. Let's say I have fire in my hand and I touch her. What will happen to her? She'll start burning. Will she? Come here. You come here. What happened to me that night when the guy prayed for me? Fire came from him onto me. On him it was doing one thing, on me it was doing something else. Because the fire knows where to go. If it needs to go to your heart, it'll go to your heart. If it needs to go to your mind, it'll go to your mind. If it needs to go to your marriage, it'll go to your marriage. If your backside needs burning, it'll burn. It happened to me. You like fire, you better. All right, now I want you to come. Stand up. Look at this woman. Look at her. Oh, no, no, you don't have to stand up. You can't stand up now. Stand up. Look at her. What's happening? No, she's not having an epileptic fit. Have you ever seen what happens when you pour oil into a hot pot? It starts jumping. You're going to look at her now. See what the fire is going to do. She's going to look like that hot oil in the pot. It's going to start bouncing. While that's happening, do you like fire? Do you feel it? What do you feel? What do you feel? Do you like fire? Come here. Do you want more? Are you sure? You want lots? Take it. Ooh. She's got the snap, crackle, and pop anointing. She's got the heebie-jeebie one. You don't have to see your chiropractor after this because by the time you finish, your spine is in alignment there. What's happening here? The Holy Spirit is busy doing something. What's he doing? I can't tell you. I don't even have to know. It's between them and God. And you, come here. That's quite a hairstyle you got there. Is that the peacock style? What? You know what you remind me of? Johnny Bravo. With the black head. Stanya. You had an interesting experience this week, didn't you? Seek the Lord while He may be found. You almost didn't have another opportunity, did you? Do you want to find God? Raise your hands. Take it. What's God busy doing? There's things that need to be sorted out. Why is He sorting it out? Because God has a plan for your life. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan for your life. Now, here's the reality. Most of you are not anywhere near where God wants you to be. And until the power of God doesn't touch you, you'll never know where you're even supposed to be. Let me tell you something about the fire of God and about the anointing of God. Where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do is coupled to what God put inside of you. All of us, we have, the Bible says, a treasure inside of us. But you see, the thing is, it can't activate without power. And the power to activate it comes from the hand of God when the Holy Spirit moves, when the fire of God falls down. It's interesting to note that on the day of Pentecost, when there was an explosion of the power of God throughout the entire known world, it came through fire. Amen? What touched every disciple and what touched the people that was together in the square that day? They saw tongues of fire come down upon from the heavens and alight on top of them. And when the fire touched them, it energized, it brought to life what God had really called those people to do. Peter never knew he was an evangelist, but he was always one. But he only realized that calling once he came under the fire of God. Peter, James, John. What about you? What has God put inside of you that you can't see right now? I can't answer that. But when you come under the anointing and when the fire begins to burn in your life, something that was dead inside, not dead, dormant, will come to life. And you might wake up tomorrow morning and be a completely new person. Is that so difficult to understand? No, that's how the kingdom of God works. That's how God operates. Young man, seek the Lord while He may be found. Come here. Stand there for me. There. Did you listen to my testimony? Here's what I want you to understand. I had to make a choice. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Remember what I shared with you in my testimony? Another voice spoke to me and said, get out of here. Don't do this. This is not for you. What do you think would have happened in my life if I listened to the other voice? Well, somebody else would be preaching tonight. Not me. Because I would have missed it. But I didn't. When the Lord speaks to you, it's your privilege to be obedient or not. Sometimes we say to ourselves, you'll call me again next week, or you'll call me again next year. Well, you can't prove that. I think there's a lot of people that ended up in a very bad place because they kept saying, next time, next time. Why do you think the Bible warns us to seek the Lord while He may be found? Because tomorrow might be too late. You don't know what tomorrow holds. I want to ask you a question. Do you think it's time for you to seek God? I'm not interested in long time ago. I'm talking tonight. All right, so you're in a place. The anointing is here. The power is here. What do you want to do? You know, the devil's come for you many times. It's a miracle that you're still standing here. Now you see, this devil doesn't like me talking to you. But it's your life, isn't it? Come stand up and look me in the eye. You have an opportunity tonight, son. So here's the question. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? The devil doesn't want you to talk. Well, he's not in charge here, is he? I'm going to touch your lips. Now I want you to look at me again. What do you want to do? Do you want to seek God tonight? Do you mean business? Are you speaking to me from your heart? No, look at me. Right, raise your hands. You say this with me. Father God, tonight I'm in this place by divine appointment. And tonight, I choose to seek you, to follow you, to receive you. Forgive me for messing up my life, destroying my life. I choose life. Fire! Burn out of him. Burn out of him. Burn, burn, burn. And you too. Shut up and burn. Leave him. Eugene, please lead us in worship. Let the Lord deal with us. Right now, son, the fire of God is upon you. It's your choice whether you leave your rubbish here tonight or whether you take it home. God is speaking to you. The Bible says today when you hear my voice, if you obey me, I will bless you. Don't even think about it. Shut up. You are arrested on this floor. You don't move. You don't do nothing. You shut up. You respect God. Be quiet. Now. I arrest you in this place, in this spot. You will stay burning and burning and burning until there's nothing left of you. You will be taught a lesson. Okay, take a seat. All right, you've seen some strange things start happening now, eh? Why? Because the anointing is moving. Because the finger of God is touching. What God will do for one, He will do for another one. So here's what I'm going to do now. We need to move on. I'm going to ask that the guys please take up the offering for us. Then this is what we're going to do. God changed my life with one touch. You think He can't change your life with one touch? He can. God brought me back on track with one touch. You think He can't do it for you? He can. God released me from a load of rubbish with one touch. Why on earth can't He do it for you? But I'm going to take you back to this scripture. Listen carefully. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on them. And to our God, for He will freely pardon. Tonight I know that the Lord spoke to many of you about your life. To many of you about your circumstances. Your religion will not save you. Your God will save you. And you better know Him or you're going nowhere. You can't guarantee that you're going to wake up tomorrow, can you? God is here tonight. And He may be found. He may be found by many of you. He may be found by all of you. There is a very strong anointing here tonight. And I have a feeling some strange things are going to happen. I don't know about you, but I say praise God. Amen.